Good morning. This is Mark Steiner right here on your source for cool jazz and more. WEAA 88.9 FM, the voice of the community. Today we're here in the latest installment in our series World of the Play, where we look at some of the issues that come out of the productions at Everyman Theater. Today we're looking at the play Fences, which is currently at Everyman through November 22nd. Fences, of course, is one of the most important plays of the 20th century, written by August Wilson. This play won him a Pulitzer Prize and a Tony Award. It's the story of a man named Troy Maxson, a garbage collector, a one-time home run king in the Negro Baseball Leagues. It's a story about his relationship with his wife and their family. Troy, shut out of the major leagues, was turned away from the career of his dreams. The play takes place in the late 1950s. In a changing cultural landscape, different from the one he played ball in, his son Corey is a football star who sees the world very differently from his father. The tensions surround Troy, Corey, and Rose, as this ever-changing world, as the world of segregation falls apart, is also tearing apart the family. In the middle of the play, it's revealed that Troy is having an affair with a woman named Alberta, who becomes pregnant with his child. She dies in childbirth. Rose agrees to adopt the baby as her own, but it deeply changes the nature of her relationship with her husband and her family. During the course of the play Fences, Rose reflects upon her responsibility for not making her husband leave room for her in their lives. In this installment of the World of the Play, we ask questions. Is Rose's 1950 critique of herself a commentary at that time, or can it be applied to society today? In an age where traditional gender roles are rapidly changing, what is the contemporary discussion around creating room for women in relationships, in the home, in the workplace, as equals in life? We wrestle with all of that and more in this edition of the World of the Play, which we call Room for Her. Enjoy. Let me introduce our panel. A really, really engaging panel here. Shirley Bassfield Dunlop is sitting next to me. She runs the theater department at Morgan State University. She has directed the play Fences 7 times and knows the play thoroughly and knows Wilson's work intimately. And she is just, I think, one of the leading theater grand dames of our community, and happy to have her on the panel here. And next to her is Sakina Ansari Wilson, who is a healer in a very literal sense, a figurative sense as well, lectures across the country in all of this. And she worked on the piano lesson, which was the Hall of Fame, the movie made for TV, her father's play. She's the daughter of August Wilson. And the play that that he wrote with Charles Dutton in mind, who played the lead role of that role, as he did in Ma Rainey's Black Bottom. And, of course, there's another Baltimore person who, as an aside, will probably come up later, that I taught in prison when he was in our theater program in prison. So that relationship goes back a long, long time. And next to her, we're joining us once again is Samara Stone. And Samara Stone is a certified social worker, clinical social worker since 2001, and opened the Stone Foundation, and works on some really, really amazing therapeutic work with families in our community, and served thousands and thousands of people. And she's also just a very serious intellectual as well, so it was good to have her back on the panel. We were going to hug hello, but she's not feeling it all today, so we didn't hug, but hello. So let's begin. I think that Rose's character is a 50s woman, a woman that was formed by the 40s and 50s. And to me, one of the most famous lines in the play for her was when she was standing up at the end, saying, "I will take care of, I will be the mother to your baby, but you are now a no man, a no woman man." One of the lines you never forget. But that's on the heels of the other things that she talked about in her conversations when she was standing up for herself as a woman. And so let's wrestle with that, who that person is for all of you. Then we'll take it out from there. And Sakina, would you mind starting us off?
But the first time you saw this production that your dad did, the first time you read her, what did you think of her when the play ended? How did you feel about that when you first saw it?
Well, I was very young.
I know you were really young, right?
So, I mean, my favorite line was what you said, that one, mm-hmm. because it showed, you know, in my eyes, like, yeah, you tell him, you know, whatever. You finally putting your foot down, you know. And it's that's almost to me when she came out of her, came more into her own power. But she was put in that situation to, that situation of Troy having a child outside of their marriage. She had a decision, and she made her decision, but she also stood in her power in making that decision, that she wasn't going to just be disregarded. And whatever it may look like outside the household, you know, she knew what was going on inside. So,
Samara?
I just found Rose to be such an amazing woman. And in that moment, I had tremendous respect for how she managed a difficult situation. For her to make that choice meant that she understood the importance of commitment and keeping the family whole, right? But that she also had an emotional boundary around how far she would allow herself to go in terms of being hurt by this man. So I just love that decision, the decision to do what was best for the child, for the family, and even for him. She still was the wife that prepared a meal for him, but she said, you can warm it up, it's on the stove.
Right.
Right? I mean, so her willingness to continue to serve in her position and to continue to be who she needed to be for that family and home is so respectable. But I love that she set the boundary.
And I also... Yes, I also feel that Rose is probably one of what we now look at as women feminists, you know, in that she allows her voice to now be heard, because also she tells us that she made space for Troy and forgot to leave space for herself in the long run of it all, but that she knew what her job was as a woman. She knew what her job was as far as taking care of the family and taking care of her family and making sure that the reason for her wanting the fence to keep her family in, she knew that was her responsibility. And the other part of this is the first girl child. You know, she's had Corey, she is the stepmother of Lyons, but this is the first girl child. But the thing that's really important is that Rose knew that she did all that she could do to be the wife for Troy, and if that wasn't enough, then so be it. But that she was going to be certain that he knew that this would be the last time. There would be no more times. You know, I kind of think Rose knew. You know, they kind of kept it a hush on the out in the yard about Troy's escapades. But I think Rose knew all the while what Troy was up to. A man will be a man. You know, that's what the wife will say. But that he comes home. He knows how to come home, and he knows how to provide. Because that was the family of the 50s. The man was to provide for the household, and that's what Troy did. He did not shirk his responsibilities.
I might add, this is my life experience. I think women always know.
Yeah.
I'll leave it there. But I think that, let's think about Rose in terms of what she represented. I was thinking about the early monologue she did in the confrontation with Troy, where she talked about her, you know, I have feelings and I have desires, and I think about my life and what I want to do, and you're not the only person to have this. It was the 50s, but this is, I want to make this bridge, because to me this was like August Wilson, in some sense, is making a bridge from then to the 90s, to the 80s, to later on in the century, of what she represented in that, and how that might be played out today, how that particular scene might be played out in 2015.
I think that's correct, because all of Wilson's pieces are dealing with a culture It's not about writing a play. It's about writing about a culture. And when we sometimes look at the history of the family, and in this many cases, it's neither black nor white. It's just the family. We look at women. You know, my father used to always say, my mother's name was Hilda. You know, Hilda was all right till Oprah came on television, and then. You know, So I think what August Wilson is letting us know is that the years of the family with a a wife that I can be on my own, a woman rather that is a single mother, it's not necessarily something that was a part of our culture, our history over the decades that. You know, now women are looking at the consequences that come up when you have someone like a Troy that has moved out of his home, and I think that August Wilson lets us know that we were we were and still are in many cases a group of people that. Want to remain loved, want to remain like what you said, Sakina, the glue is always keeping us together. The fence is keeping us in and not letting us out. I think that he wants to show that history that a lot of people do not necessarily either remember or are aware of.
So you were asking about the difference between then and now.
Yeah. I'm very curious, just especially about how, like for your generation and the young women behind you, how that scene might be played very differently in 2015.
Yeah,
right?
I think one of the things that really struck me as a unique difference, and you know, in the play we don't get to see the outside world's response to her choices. We don't get to see what the community has to say about her taking on this child. We don't get to see what, her friends and family and what the church says about her having taken on responsibility for this child that she did not raise and that she did not birth. I do believe, though, that today that has a lot of impact on some of the choices that get made. To go back to the Oprah, right? Because we stand and we have a very open conversation about the dynamics that are happening in our home, and that opens us up to the judgments of other people. And then how does that impact the choices that we make based on what's happening inside our family system? I see that often, that, you know, maybe the woman knows that it's not right to leave this child in a situation where she's not parented, and so she wants to do this right thing. But if there's a lot of external pressures socially around, you shouldn't let him do this to you. This is not right. Somehow that can color the choices that I believe get made. And I do think in 2015, that's a part of it. It's can you believe she let that happen to her? As opposed to, I'm going to do what I believe to be authentically right for
Sakina?
This family.
How I feel is different is Rose would be a different person just due to how she was raised in regards to in the 50s. Possibly her mother raised her of that is your role as a woman to find a husband and have children. We are not Rose's parent of now would not have. Basically, it's like, okay, what's important for you is to, you know, get your education, get your career, and things of that nature. So Rose would have been a different woman. So I don't think that monologue would have happened of, you know, don't you think I, you know, wanted, because she would have already been instilled in her that she should be doing those things. Those things are just as important. Some people raise their children, that's even more important than having, or they make that decision that's even more important, you know, than having the spouse and the children. Be who, be you, be whatever is inside of you. So that's all I think. Rose is a different woman.
We'll come to the audience in a minute, but I know some people want to say it, but just 1 second. Let's get through this.
I did want to respond to something that was said earlier in the sense that we don't see how the church or any of the neighbors or anything responded. It's not necessarily in the script, but just by the virtue of the fact that there is talk about how she's now going to church and how she had to go to the, you know, she had to take the cake in and everything. We do know that the church has embraced her and her decision. And during the 50s, that would have been something that, but the church embraced, and I think they support her so much in that, which is really, really exciting because we don't hear of her relationship with girlfriends, neighbors, church. You know, she didn't have a girls' night out like the way Troy does with Bono. You know, we don't hear that. So I think that it was a means of empowerment for her to know that there was this support system there for her, even with this young woman. She says, you know, I got half of everything, and here she now has a half daughter, but she's still going to take that child in.
So the other piece of this too, as you look at this, is I kept looking at this play thinking about and thinking about the community back in 1950, 55, 60. And where they lived, the dynamic was very different than the dynamic is today, right? I mean, the dynamic was in some ways culturally whole. There were no vacant houses. There were working class people who were poor and better off, working class people who lived mostly in intact families, fathers and mothers in the house, and people were poor and struggling, and had just recently felt the depth of the South and racial terrorism, as well as the racism of the North. But you know, but the dynamic today, if you're writing a story about a poor working class neighborhood today and women in that community, we'd be talking with Samara in a very different kind of story. I mean, how much has changed that way?
I can't help but think about how it's the individual decisions that we make within our families that help to shape those cultural dynamics in the communities outside of our families. That pivotal moment when you say, I will keep my family intact, I will be the glue that makes us whole, even though I grew up with half sisters and half brothers and such, I'm gonna make this feel like a singular family unit. That decision to a large degree colors the way that the community looks overall. And I may be on the outside with this thought, but it's very easy to walk away today when things like this happen. Oh my goodness, I can't believe he's done this. That's it, I'm gone. But there's a wake in the aftermath of those choices. There are children and families that are impacted by these choices, and there's no judgment with whatever choice is made. That's fine. But I have such respect for the choice that does it different, because I think that does impact the community that you're, the very community you're describing.
It's easier to walk away from it because it's, you know, there are no holes barred. It's easier to do that. So that's one of the other things about seeing the strength of Rose, the one adult woman in the play. You know, seeing her strength, and also seeing her strength because she's not only made room in the sense of what has happened with Troy bringing in this baby, but she's made room for everybody that belongs to Troy. She's made room for Gabriel. She's made room for Lyons. And she's trying to hold on to the one thing that the two of them had together, which was Corey. And she's made room. So she is the trumpet sound, you know, the trumpet leader for all of them. And that's her job. That's her J-O-B. You know, some people go to work, she holds on to everything. But I find that in a community such as what we may have today, some people, and the giving up part of it, some people are just not able to gather enough strength to do that. That's the whole challenge, just to be able to gather enough strength. And like what was said earlier, it's because of the way maybe some people were reared, you know. It's just not in the DNA, and it's not and for Rose, it was in the DNA. And the thing is, a lot of people often say, well, where was she going to go? She didn't have a job. She didn't. But she had many places that she could have made a way. And how do we know this? We know this just by the strength of her actions. We know this just by the I don't want to call them demands, but the ideas and the promises that she is going to give as whatever you need, I'm here for you. But we know that she is, if Troy were to even, let's just make a whole new play. If Troy were to say, look, you got to go, she's fine. I'm out of here. I think she could still have done that and still been able to survive. And that is clear. That's very clear just by the determination and that she has.
It's also Rose the healer.
Yes.
And this play is also about a healing. Mm-hmm. And you said something in the back I'm going to throw out in a moment. Mm-hmm. But let me turn to our healer here for a moment, mm-hmm. in the center. I mean, because that's part of this. And I see that runs through a lot of August Wilson's plays, that the healer is inside the play. And she clearly was the healer in this play. In some weird ways, Troy was too.
Yes. And just as Ms. Dunlap said, she took on everyone, and that was needed. She saw that was needed, and she even still sacrificed herself to continue to keep a unit. As you said, you don't know anything about her family. She could be somewhere else, but she now made that a part of her family. And even though Troy had physically left, she's going to make sure that they all remember and know. And she stated that she's going to put her best inside of Raynell, just as Troy did the best that he could. And so she saw that this was her way of passing down a legacy as well.
The thing that I think is so beautiful is that Rose is teaching through action Raynell how to be a woman. Not a lady, not a black woman, a white woman, a woman. She's teaching Raynell how to be a woman. And that is what I think is just so wonderful, because some of the things that she's handing down, as you said, Sakina, are things that are not taught in school, not taught in church. They are taught on the porch. Patricia Collins says they're taught on the porch. They're taught in the kitchen around a pot of greens or a string or shucking peas or whatever. They're taught there. They're taught by action. And we see that this is going to be growth, especially just in the fact that Raynell is growing her little garden. You know, we see growth is going to happen, and that Raynell is going to grow up looking at her mother as an example of what is the ways, the contributions that a woman makes to make a strong family.
So what is it? Oh, go ahead, Candace.
And she also saw, of course, important to keep that intact, because she also knows that at one point Raynell is going to want to ask questions about her father to her brother. So it's like, well, you knew Papa, so what can you tell me? So she knows, of course, also the importance of keeping this unit as well.
I think that, again, you know, August Wilson writes from the place that he came from, mm-hmm. which is, I'll say, the strongest place any writer can write from. But it's about the dynamic of family, but it's about the pain in the family. Mm-hmm. It's about what happens when you have a unity and then are faced with disunity. When you have a hope, when you have a thought and idea about what you think your life is, and it just gets pulled out from under you, and how she handled that, and who she was. And also, you know, I think that to me, when you see this, it's also, it's her, but it's the dynamic in some ways of what she represents, I think, in this, and what Bono represents in this, right? And I think that that's really, there's a lot to wrestle with here.
Yeah, Bono tries to warn Troy early on, mm-hmm. you know. And Bono is, in many ways, Rose's biggest advocate, mm-hmm. you know. Mm-hmm. Bono tries to warn Rose, and Troy is... Troy's just working from a place of wanting to know, especially... See, I think Troy works from a place of being so fit and secure in his home. Rose has given him all that a man could ever want, that his reasons for... You know, one must not think... I invite people to not always think of Rose's... Troy stepping out on Rose, but that Troy just wants to see what life is on the other side of the track, or on the other side of the fence, or if we want to continue with the metaphor. And the other part about it is Rose has given him such a love and security about himself, even, that he can do that. You know, she's provided so much for him that he is able to say, you know, I'm going to try this, and not even, because he tells Bono, I ain't nothing going on, you know. He doesn't even know what he's doing. You know, he doesn't realize that, other than I'm just wanting to see what the 32nd flavor is for Baskin and Robbins.
But he also said it that he had been standing, so he was ready to slide into mm-hmm. home. Mm-hmm. So it was, you know, mm-hmm. basically, but it's like, well, you know, I want to get to home base, mm-hmm. you know, and mm-hmm. basically she firmed up my spine to tell me, you know, I could do this, you know, and that was the whole thing was Rose. I'm like, well, heck, I've been standing here with you. You know, I don't want to go to home base too, you know. So, yeah.
I think to a large degree, Troy, the pressures that he was facing in the work world and all of the responsibilities that he was navigating, it was a heavy load for him. And so there were moments when he's with this other woman where none of that is around. He doesn't see the house that the money from his brother's illness brought home. He doesn't see the roof that needs tarring. He doesn't see the struggle to become promoted in the work world. All of that disappears, and he's just with this woman with these big legs, and that's the thought. And I think on some level, I understood Troy in that moment, because, yes, he loves Rose and his home and his family. He's committed. He's 100% committed. But this woman represented like a entertainment, diversion, some sort of a ticket you buy at the movie to go see. He did not expect that it would yield this tangible person that he would then have to introduce into his family system. That thought wasn't there. The thought was, I want to have a moment away from the heavy responsibility of my day-to-day life. And so, I get that.
Okay, so I understand getting that completely, but I mean... What does that say about the dynamic between men and women and how we get that?
Yeah.
Often, and has that changed in 50 years?
No.
Right?
No. And it won't. What does change is how we manage the outgrowth of that. What does change is the choices that different men and women make around their willingness to participate in affairs. And what does change is how we manage the, you know, contraception or whatnot to keep us from having fruit of these unions. Those things change. But I do believe that there is still this very real desire on the part of men and women to come outside of that heavy day-to-day responsibility of whatever it is and have this 30-second flavor. I do believe that. I do believe that. And we see it often in our counseling practice when families are coming in trying to find a way to mend the fence because now there's been this breach of trust. There's been, and maybe there is no baby that's there as a physical representation, but the awareness is just as real and tangible and palpable. They feel it. They know it. And it causes, just like she said, was I not enough? I was up there with you every single day. But on some level, as the two become one, yes, you were there every day, but you are me. You're not this outside thing that I'm seeking as a diversion. You are me. So I can't, yeah, that happens. And I hear men talk about that often when asked about the affairs. And I feel so much for women who really struggle with not feeling enough in that moment when that happens, because that's the thought that comes up. But it's so not about that. It's so not about whether or not the woman is enough, right? It's this other dynamic that is at work.
No, I don't feel it's changed. Actually, I feel it's even more glorified, especially on TV. Internet, you have all these different TV shows that highlight that, and people are, what's going to happen this week, you know? And so, no, I don't know if what people are engrossed in on TV is preventing them from doing it at home, tempting them to do it because they think it's going to be like on TV. I don't know, but... No, I don't.
I was watching Satisfaction. It's a new show that's out, and you know, it's a series. It's a weekly series, and the couple, the married couple, is wanting something new in life, and so the wife kind of you know, got involved in a relationship, and so therefore then the husband said, well, I'm going to get involved. And then they realized that what it did was it made their marriage stronger because they realized that, you know, what they needed to do in their marriage was to put spark and let each other know and not assume that, you know, life is great and our marriage is grand, but just, and I thought, I said, wow, maybe that's, and you know, we see it now, like you said, in all of these different things that are going on television and different organizations doing different kind of whatevers, but it's just the fact that I think for Rose, like you said, when she says she's standing right here with you, I think what happens is that is also what Rose understood. You know, Rose understood. Yes, you have to. You know, I now understand what was missing in your life. And more importantly, it was also missing in my life, but I continued to suppress it and keep it, you know, and not address it. And I think that that's what Rose got upset about. You know, shoot, there have been times when I really didn't want to look at you every morning or every night or something. You know, she realized, man... You guys see that commercial where the father says, so you quit your job and you're going to drive cross country. And he says, why didn't I think of that? You know, Rose probably is one that says, I should have thought of that, or I should have done that.
You're listening to our World of the Play discussion from the play Fences by August Wilson. The discussion's called Room for Her. The play is currently playing at Everyman Theater. We'll take a short break, but don't go away. When we come back, it's the rest of that conversation. Welcome back. This is Mark Steiner here on the Mark Steiner Show on WEAA 88.9 FM, the voice of the community. And today we're hearing the latest installment in our series, The World of the Play, where we look at the issues created from the productions at Everyman Theater. Today we're looking at August Wilson's play, Fences. which is currently at Everyman through November 22nd. We're talking about women, gender roles, and relationships in the 1950s and today. Our guests are Samara Stone, licensed certified social worker and founder of the Stone Foundation. Shirley Bassfield Dunlop, head of the theater department at Morgan State University, who has erected fences 7 times. Sakina Ansiri Wilson, health advocate and daughter of the playwright August Wilson.
It seems to me that part of what this play is doing, what this rose does, represents maybe the 50s, but it crosses, I think, a span of time where women are expected to repress the feelings and men are not.
That's correct.
Right?
Yes.
And, I mean, that monologue, dialogue she has around that piece is very powerful. And it gets deep and under it. And I think that's part of what we're talking about here. I mean, even today, in 2015, when more and more women are in business and doing their own work and having their own lives and don't have to be governed by a man having his life so she can have her life, that dynamic still exists, though. Right? I mean, Samara, you have to see that all the time in the work that you do.
Do you mean
the dynamic? We all see in our lives all the time.
And tell me which dynamic. Do you mean the notion that although the woman has independence in the work world, she still has a sense of emotional dependence?
Women are expected to have that. Women are expected to repress that. People still have that consciousness, you know, no matter what year it is.
Mm-hmm.
And repress
their desire to go outside of the family. And
just
to be powerful.
To be powerful and do what they want to do.
I do think, to a large degree, there is that expectation. But I think women are doing so many different things with power now. We're playing with power in a lot of different ways. And I love what you talked about women owning businesses and this kind of thing, because I've been in business for 10 years, and I also have 3 children. And so I juggle that reality every day. And I think, on some level, the empowerment of being able to be in business for yourself allows you to make better choices for the family. Doesn't that seem odd? But it's true, because women's choices oftentimes are fruit of what they want to do with regard to their children, right? And so having the business where you have that freedom allows you to make different choices for how you spend your day and how you invest your time and so forth, and organizing time. So I think that it's about how we use the power, but the expectation for us to be the primary responsible party in these family dynamics is always there, and I welcome that, actually, personally.
I think also what needs to be brought to the table also is the fact that this is 1950s. We are only 30 years, 3 decades maybe, away from women even receiving the right to vote. We're also dead straight center in race relations. And so we've got a dynamic of a black woman in the 50s with all of this over her head. You know, Rose is probably experiencing, as far as age is concerned, is experiencing all of that. She's experiencing that from a higher authority, both through her economics and also through her social dynamics and also in her home. And so she has to embrace that quality as well. Plus, I also feel that women, and especially women of the African American culture, they had their own business all the time, because there was no one hiring them. So when they were working as maids or whatever the case may be, that was their business, ironing or whatever the case. They were already business women. And so I think that comes into play as well. But I think there's something to be said about a woman who is told where she has to go to the restroom, what side of the street she has to walk on, you know, all of the above. That it's a wear and tear on her that makes her happy to be home, where she can walk around and be in power in her own home.
And it also a period of time that, later on top of it, that you alluded to, that this was the period that was the waning of the Great Migration from the South, mm-hmm. Where people left the racial terror of the South that Troy talks about and ends up and goes north. And the North is still segregated. The North is still deeply racist. The North is still a place where black folks can only go so far. Mm-hmm. And in the 1950s, it's also the beginning of where the movement started mm-hmm. after World War II, and people come home from World War II, and the veterans beginning to stand up, saying, "I fought, I'm standing up now."
That's right.
And so, and Troy was, you know, had one of those men who had his that dream blunted. Mm-hmm. And so, I mean, that's all these kind of dynamics and layering going on in this
right.
that has a lot to also do with Rose's decision why I'm going to keep this baby, because I'm not, the baby cannot be just put out there and to be left to the vagaries of life.
Right.
We have responsibility. Right. She's my baby's sister,
right.
not just Troy's daughter, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. So that's all that is kind of mixed inside mm-hmm. there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I agree with you on that, and I also feel that that Rose sees so much of what could possibly happen with Raynell that happened in her, and there's just no way that we're going to allow that. She, you know, she does not want this child, because this child, if Rose doesn't take the child's going to be an orphan.
Right. That wasn't going to happen.
And that could not happen in our community because, you know, I didn't know half of my cousins were really just neighbors, you know. So that was not going to happen. And so Rose did what anybody else would have done, because who would have taken that beautiful brown baby girl and put her in the system? You know.
That dynamic you mentioned just a moment ago is the fluid dynamic of hundreds of years mm-hmm. of black men trying to protect their children from what they think, what they're going to face. Yeah. And every generation faces something different because nothing's static, right?
Yeah.
So it's fluid. But what he experienced in the 30s and 40s, he doesn't want his son to experience, just like somebody who grew up in the 60s and 70s doesn't want their child to experience whatever racism they felt coming that overpowered them. That was that very powerful dynamic that I think August Wilson was putting into Troy's mouth and his heart into that character.
It's no different from you know, kids today feeling a certain way that they feel because maybe they live in an integrated neighborhood and they go to an integrated school and they are able to drive, you know, wherever they want to or whatever. And you've got a father or grandfather that said, "Boy, you better watch out. You'll be going in there." You know, that is, it's no different. It's just no different.
But I think today women have more choices, even if they love the Troy in their life, they can say, "Guess what? I'm working here, and I'm taking care of, I think this is right for my baby. And no one's going to stop me if he wants this, and he's due for it." So I do think today's dynamic allows women much more power in the say of what's going to happen. And they do it, from what I've seen. They do take a stand.
She would have signed the papers.
She would, right.
I understand that, but, you know, we still have women that and, you know, this is in the last decade or two. You know, like, I'm Mrs. Shirley Bassfield Dunlap, and I'm not Mrs. Reginald Dunlap. You know, there's still women that hold on to that. And that's a mindset that may be not as strong, but it's still that mindset that is similar to Rose.
I know the dynamic of my life. I don't think I've ever... There's no woman I've ever known in my world, my family, who is one of those women who would say no. Mm-hmm. This is how it's going to be. This is what, mm-hmm. and to say mm-hmm. I'm going to sign the papers. Mm-hmm. You know, I think that there is a dynamic that's changed. People don't mm-hmm. back up as easily to men as people used to.
That's true.
And I think that part of, if you wrote that play today, you'd have to see a man trying to wrestle with the past of what it meant to be a man, wrestling with being terrified of what the future of what it means to be a man, with the power of women kind of coming out. And we're still wrestling with that. I think that's part of the 21st century struggle, is this new dynamic between men and women that is very different, right? I mean, that's, we're used to this mm-hmm. old paradigm that's thousands of years old. It's not happening anymore. Mm-hmm. It's just not happening. Let me come down here. Wait, did you want to say something?
Oh, thank you. I think August Wilson just did an absolute fabulous job of weaving the generational situation of the African-American community. And I think Troy was, and he laid it out for us in terms of his relationship with his father and how that had been. And those were the dynamics that he brought into the family that he created, although he wanted to kind of leave that alone. And then you saw it passing on to his son that was in the Marines, who had that anger and that bitterness towards him. And then you have Rose, who, yes, is the healer, but not only is she the healer, but she's the author of that family mm-hmm. and that unit. So if you think of that and think of those dynamics, and so I think I kind of want to hear from the panelists, because when you look at what he's laid out with the African-American community and the role that that woman played in that, the community was very important. The community, in a sense, was important not only to Troy and how he was created, his sons and what he saw as his future, but you've got to also look at Lion, I think that was the oldest son, mm-hmm. and how he turned out, which was also the product of Troy. So let's look at Rose from that dynamics, and if you look at the strength that she had from where she came from, what do you see that she brought into her family that she wanted to create a unit with that family at all costs? Because she had already accepted a blended family to start out. And then she has a son, and then there's another blending. So how does those dynamics shape her as a woman?
Well, one thing that I find very clear is that, first of all, Lyons is the product of Troy and an earlier relationship. But Troy was not in Lyons' life for most of his, you know, maturing years, because Troy was in jail. So from Lyons and Lyons' behavior, we can see a whole dynamic of another kind of woman, because Rose would not have had, you know, when we look at Corey is not going to be the one that's going to come every other Saturday to, you know, to get $10 or whatever the case may be. I think that Wilson has shown us two different types of mothering and nurturing that is very clear. It's so blatantly clear. And and you know, Troy's just not in Lyons' lives, and now Lyons is too grown for Troy to tell him how to behave and how to act like he can do with Corey. And so in my opinion, I think Troy is also making up for a earlier screw up. You know, I'm gonna get this one right, you know, is what I feel.
Let's go over here and then we'll come down there before we conclude.
At the end of the play, Rose says to Corey, "I did not make him make room for me." She says that. So she's really looking at her actions throughout the play and saying that she didn't make this happen. So my question is, what is her advice, and what is she going to tell Raynell about what it means to be a woman in a house with a man or not in the world? And what does it mean? How does she advise her on making sure that there is room for herself in that world? What does that mean? What is she? Because I get the impression that Raynell is not going to be Rose or Rose's mother. I get the impression that the way that she's already, she's shaping her for something else. I'm not sure exactly what, but I want to know, what is she going to tell her about what it means to be a woman and making sure that there's room for you?
Who wants to grab that one first? Go ahead, okay. Samara.
I think for me, the the thought about her making room has to do with her having some of her life's wishes and dreams be present in their family and in their home dynamic, too. I mean, here what Rose, how she impresses upon the family is that there will be wholeness, not halfness, that there will be consistency and commitment. But we don't get a chance to see her will be done in the home, not even around her son's, you know, football career or other things that she found to be important. And so even though she said it, and that even in and of itself is unique in that time period, the fact that she spoke up for herself the way that she did, finding a way to make her words matter and make them stick and have her will be done. And also, I think, exploring a life other than just an appendage of Troy, right? Because to a large degree, her choices are all shaped around this force in her life, which is this big, powerful Troy. And he, honestly, I loved his character. I mean, I know we don't always like his choice, but oh my goodness, he was funny and he was energetic and alive. And can you imagine as a woman? And she talked about what it was like to fall in love with him, to meet this man and like, wow, you just made my whole life come alive. But in that, she got swept up in it and didn't make any room for her own life to come alive. And so I think Raynell will plant a garden of her own, and she'll grow some things of her own in the yard that aren't, it won't just be fences. There'll be some pieces of her in the family that she develops.
I think just as Troy tried to protect his son from what he experienced and did not want, I think she will do the same to her, of almost like, well, let me teach you of not making the same mistakes that I did. Prime example, my mother had me when I was young. She instilled in me, do everything you want before you have children. She kept on saying that because that was, you know, something that she experienced. So I think she will raise her to be able to speak her voice more and know what her voice is, and even instill in her to discover what are her hopes and dreams. So she will be filled with that first and be able to make that and know that's a part of her life, and whatever that is a part of her purpose as well.
And she says in the script, she says when she met Troy, she knew here was a man she could lay down to make her whole. So there's a part of her that realizes that she has to first make herself whole before she makes or has anybody else to make her whole. And that is, if we could easily honestly say, that is Wilson preparing us for the new woman, the newness of the women in this culture now, you know, because we move into another space with the type of women that he begins to write about.
I want to thank our guests here. This has been a great discussion. Samara Stone, Sakina Ansari Wilson, Shirley Bassfield Dunlop, thank you so much for this world of play today.
Thank you.
And thank you all for coming out.
Thank you.
I want to thank everyone at Everyman Theater for partnering with us on our World of Play series. You can check out August Wilson's Fences at Everyman from now until November 22nd. The Mark Steiner Show is a production of the Center for Emerging Media. Our producers are Stephanie Mavronis and Mark Gunnery. Our engineer is Andrea Milton. Our interns are Sienna Greaves, Monifa Wilson, and Calvin Perry. Our theme music is by Walt Matthews of Clean Cuts. Send your thoughts about today's program to talk@steinershow.org. It's a podcast of Mark Steiner Show, and share it with your friends. Visit us on the web at steinershow.org or listen to us via your favorite podcasting app. And for your source for cool jazz and more, WEAA 88.9 FM, the voice of the community, I'm Mark Steiner. Take care.